John chapter 20, and starting with verse 11, I'd like to take our reading here tonight, and I don't plan to preach a long time, but I want us to get the gist of what the Word has to say to us. John chapter 20 and verse 11, we passed some folks on the way to church tonight that looked like they were having a party, and I thought, why don't we just have a party? Praise God. If the world can do it, and that's okay. In their eyes, that's okay. But there's something weird about going to church on Sunday night. Amen. But it's not weird. It's normal. John 20, verse 11, but Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping. Everybody said weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher. The stone had already been rolled away from the tomb. And when she looked into the sepulcher and seeth two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, why, woman, why weepest thou? Why weepest thou? Amen. She saith unto them, because they have taken away my Lord. Oh, what a terrible place it is to feel like they have taken away your Lord. Amen. The devil would like you to believe that, but you cannot be taken away from him, and he cannot be taken away from you. Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back. That's what we need to do, turn ourselves back to that place of victory, that place of joy. Amen. She turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? Amen. And she, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Well, there's no way she could have done that. She wasn't physically strong enough to do that. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Amen. And I've preached along these lines before, but I felt it for the service here tonight. Amen. He was there all the time. Praise God. When she thought they had taken him away, he was there all the time. And what we need to do is ask ourselves, why are we weeping and what are we looking for? Praise God. Why are we weeping and what are we looking for? Major, major questions. What are we seeking? Why weepest thou and whom seekest thou? Praise God. Lord, we lean on you tonight and we thank you for the word of God. Ask you to anoint it to our hearts and our minds and give us liberty and victory tonight in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you. You can be seated tonight. And let's get right into the Word of God and see what the Lord will do here tonight. You know, when you talk about this thing called the human experience, it's really something different than anything else in the whole world. We have been created by God, and tonight we reside in this body of flesh, and we are at the same time created in the image of God, amen, and the likeness of God. We understand from Genesis that we have been given dominion over our physical world, and when we come to God, we have been given dominion in the realm of the Spirit as well, amen. And yet, even though we have this dominion, we are susceptible to the things of this life. And when we look at the story of the crucifixion, we can see a full range of human feelings and emotions, and it would take a long time to describe all of those emotions, feelings from guilt to unbelief and astonishment. You could just go the whole range of human emotions that is in the story of the crucifixion. And what the disciple and their friends, and their friends experienced in just a few short days was really absolutely miraculous. It was astounding. It was incredible what they had experienced, not only through the ministry of Jesus Christ, but also through this thing called the crucifixion. And right in the middle of this, we have this lady called Mary, and she was called Mary Magdalene. That was not her last name. In Scripture, they didn't have a last name. It was given to her, Mary Magdalene, identifying her as a woman from Magdala, and it was about 3 miles north of Tiberias, which is on the northern coast of the Sea of Galilee. I've been to Tiberias, and it's a beautiful place. It's very green and lush in that area. And Mary was known, and it was written of her that she was one that Jesus had cast devils out of her. And you can now add to the emotion of the thing, living in a place in your life where you have devils in you. Luke chapter 8, verses 1, 2, and 3 tells us, it came to pass that when he went through every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him, a certain woman which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils. Everybody said 7 devils. That's a lot of devils. Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others which ministered to him of their substance. Praise the Lord. Somebody smile just a little bit. We can have a little bit of time, good time in the church. But if we would fill in the blanks, the Bible doesn't give us the details here, but if you would just fill in the blanks, amen, and see what had happened in the life of this woman of faith, we would see a time in her life where events in her life spun out of control, and somehow or another, in her search for happiness, she was led into witchcraft. She was led into things that attract demon spirits. Amen. And if I could just pause for a minute here tonight, there are a lot of things in our world that attract demon spirits. Amen. We need to be careful what we allow into our minds. We need to be careful what we allow into our children's minds. Somebody help me here tonight. Amen. Because there are spirits in this world. The BTK fella that's in prison over in El Dorado strangled and killed his victims and tortured them, said that there was a devil that entered into him when he was about 12 years old, and he found some pornography in a trash can, which is where it belongs. Amen. Well, praise God. That's where it belongs. And he found it in a trash can and got hooked on it, and it led him to some very, very perverse things in his life. After he was imprisoned, he asked for permission for his pastor of the church where he did those terrible things to come to the prison and cast the devils out of him, and they would not allow it. And so here you have a man that is in despair. Don't tell me that he's not in despair. In the darkness of that cell, 23 hours a day, and allowed to get out one hour a day. And I'm sure that with Mary, there were days that she was under the full control of these seven devils. I don't know what they were. I don't know what their names were. But each of them had a particular role in disturbing her spirit and in leading her in ways that she would not want to go. And somehow or another, one of them entered into her. And then the others came. Jesus said that when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he seeketh rest and findeth not, come back to the place and get seven more spirits like him. It is a real thing. Demon possession is a real thing. We don't see it a lot in our society because there is a great presence of the church. Amen. But I have pastored. I pastored in a city on the East Coast. I helped out to start the church in Boston. And when you get those large cities, those cities where there is ancient spirits, amen. And I have seen it firsthand. I know that it's real. And we've even experienced a little bit of that here. But it's really peaceful in that respect here. Amen. I think because there is a vibrant church. There was no vibrant church. We had revival, but there was that outward influence that pressed upon us all the time. Amen. It was the kind of a thing where when you came to church, you had to press in and you had to push. Amen. Because there was a spirit. There were spirits in that city. 500 professing witches in that city. And I remember in the newspaper many times that out in the wooded areas, they would find a place where they did animal sacrifices and worshiped Satan. And the police were up on top of that. But I know a little bit about this. I understand a little bit about this. And one can only guess what it feels like. I really would never want to know, but possessed with devils, not just one, but seven devils in her. I think that probably there were times when she felt utter hopelessness, when they would rise up within her. Jesus said, here's the reason, John 10:10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Amen. I want you to know tonight, a Ouija board is not just a cute little thing. Amen. It is a channel for spirits to come. People that dabble in all of these things, the horoscope and all of those things, inspired by demon spirits, tarot cards, and all of that, palm readers, and things of that nature. It is demonically inspired. Amen. Nothing that anybody that wants to live for God would even want to get close to. Praise God. Whenever I see one of those places, I'll just pray, Lord, bind the spirit in that place. But there are real spirits in our world, and they would love to destroy your life. They come not but to steal. They want to steal your virtue, and to kill. They want to destroy. Amen. Thank God we have a church to go to. Thank God we have the Holy Ghost tonight. Amen. Thank God we have something that is greater than any demon spirit. I'm just guessing here tonight, but it's really not a guess. It's from my experiences in the ministry that these demons stole this woman's dignity and self-respect. And they had stripped her of all confidence. They had stripped her of all hope in her life. Amen. And we've got to remember that this is the work of the enemy. Somebody said amen. Amen. When you start to feeling hopeless, amen, go to God in prayer and rebuke that spirit. Well, praise God. When you feel something coming against you that would take you away from your commitment to God and bring a spirit inside of you, not that you would be demon-possessed, but I'm talking about the way you look at things. I want you to know He is there all the time. He is there all the time. Praise God. And when we talk about the Lord and His promises and His ministry to us, He has not promised us that there is no help, amen, and no hope. In fact, He said, I will be with you even unto the end of the age or the end of the world. From birth until death, He is with us. He is nearby, praise God, and He wants to help us, and He wants to cast some things out of us. Some things were cast out of me when I got the Holy Ghost. Well, praise God, some things were cast out of me when I was baptized in Jesus' name. Amen. And as long as I'm full of the Holy Ghost and walking with God, there is nothing that can stop me except myself. And so here we have tonight a beautiful example of somebody that was oppressed and had no hope. And every day it was obvious that she ministered to them. The scripture that we read, ministered unto him of their substance. And so if Jesus was hungry, they would make him a sandwich. If he was thirsty, they would get something to drink. If there was something that he needed, they were there. After those demons were cast out, there was a bond. Amen. There was a bond between Mary and Jesus. Not only just Mary, but the other women as well. And she had come into contact with the Creator of the worlds. Amen. She touched him, and he touched her, and there was a close bond between them. Amen. And we must understand this, because circumstances can change the way we feel. Circumstances can change what we see. Amen. But we are not to be controlled by our feelings. Amen. Except the good ones. We like the good ones. Amen. Like a good dish of vanilla ice cream. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Y'all look like you need a good Brahms ice cream cone. All right, I heard an amen. Praise God. Maybe that's where we'll go after church tonight. I like those good feelings. Amen. But things will come in life that don't feel good. And yet she ministered to the Lord all the things that he needed. And wherever he went, she went. I can just see her following after him. I don't know if she was married. I don't know if she had those kinds of obligations. But if she did, she found time to do that, plus be with the Lord. I think that's the way we ought to be as well. And when you're close to God, the whole world takes on a different outlook. Anybody know what I'm talking about tonight? Amen. I know that there are some of you here that understand that. But every time we get close to God and we walk with God, the world takes on a different color, if you please. And that future that she had was dim and dark. But now that future that she had was bright and hopeful. Amen. And she was totally immersed in Jesus Christ. And I believe with every fiber that was in her. I don't think there was any doubt in her heart who he was. I don't think there was any reservation about serving him and walking with him. She was totally, completely committed. Amen. Well, praise God. I don't know why that's a negative word in our generation today, but thank God for some people that are committed. Thank God for some people that are going to be here no matter what. Amen. I'm thankful for all of you that are here tonight. But even though she was close to him, all of a sudden things took a different turn. And that's the way things are in this life. All of a sudden things can take a turn for the worse. She saw her master, the one that she had ministered to, the one that she loved with all of her heart. She saw him hanging on that cross, and she saw the blood and the water coming out of his side. And she heard him cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And she saw the mother of Jesus, Mary, the other Mary, weeping uncontrollably. There's just nothing else that I could say about that other than it was a traumatic, emotional experience in their life to see their Lord, the one that touched her and delivered her, the one that she ministered to all of those years and was so close to her. Amen. Things took a turn for the worse in her mind. But just because things seemed to take a turn for the worse didn't mean that it was for the worse. Amen. And what we have to do is not see the seen, but we must see the unseen, Scripture says. For that which is seen is temporary. The cross was temporary, but eternity, oh, thank God, it brought an eternity. Amen. An eternity with him in which there's not going to be any crying, there's not going to be any pain or sorrow. Well, praise God. Things took a different turn. And she didn't really fully understand what was happening. And I believe that the others did not understand as well. They were so surprised when they found his tomb empty, and the resurrection had taken place. They really didn't understand what was happening. They walked around with their heads down. And when the Lord appeared to them, they said, oh, we had hoped that he was the one, but now they've crucified him, and he's dead and gone. All of our hopes are dashed. Amen. But what they didn't realize was he was walking right beside them all the time. Well, praise God. And he wanted to know what they were looking for. And he wanted to know what it was that they were crying about. Why are you upset? Oh, you haven't been around and heard the news? This, that, and the other has gone wrong. And now we don't know what to do. And the Romans and the religious leaders are going to come after us because of that commitment that we had in him. Oh, it looked disparaging. It looked like it was going to fall apart. But I'm telling you what, God did not call us to fall apart. Praise God. God did not establish a church that hell would be able to come against. But he said it would be built upon a rock. Amen. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Amen. And here she was at the tomb. I think that it was the tomb that I saw. Some of the people that was with us when we were in Israel said that they really felt like it was the tomb. It was an empty tomb. It was a rich man's tomb. And it was beside a place where you could look at the hill, and it literally looked like a skull. There were depressions in the side. And I can only imagine, I mean, the door to that tomb was about that tall and about that wide, and it was carved out of rock. And, you know, we get the idea it was this huge stone, and when they rolled it away, Jesus could come out standing upright. But that probably wasn't the case. It was probably more like what we saw over there. And she came to the place of burial. You know, when someone passes away, I remember pastoring in New Bedford, Massachusetts, and there was one of the men in our church. He had a friend that he was trying to minister to, and this friend had a son, and the son passed away. There was something wrong in his intestines, and he died because of that. And the dad blamed himself and thought if I could have gotten him to the hospital quicker, he wouldn't have died. And every single day, in fact, I think it was more than once a day, this man would go to the grave of his son. He put a pole up and put a light at the top, and it was to represent his boy. Every day he came to that place where his son was buried. And I think it's because, you know, we do that because of the memories, especially right after a person passes away. We go to that place of burial, and we remember, and we want to be as close to them as we can. That's why Mary was there. It was not an obligation. It wasn't something that she felt like she had to do, but she went there out of love. Amen. She went there out of a deep desire to be as close to her master as she could, even though things, you know, hadn't worked out the way she thought they would. She still went, and she was there and came up to the tomb, and the rock was rolled away. She got down.
She had to get way down. If that was the tomb that I saw, it was about this big. She had to get way down and look in there.
And when she looked in there, she saw two angels. She didn't even know that they were angels. And she said, if you know where he's at, tell me, and I'll go get him. And then she stooped to look inside. Amen. I think her face was covered with tears. Something had gone drastically wrong. Not only was he dead, but now he was gone. In her mind, he was gone. Amen. There was no way I'm going to find him now. Where can I go to weep at the tomb? Where can I go? Amen. And the angels said to her, why are you weeping? Why are you weeping? Amen. And so we've got to ask ourselves the question, why do we weep? Amen. The answers to those questions are going to be very revealing. And she said, because they have taken away my Lord. Amen. There's going to be times in your life in walking with God when you think that circumstances, the devil, life, whatever it is, has taken away your Lord. But I want to just preach to us tonight, God is with us. Amen. Somebody said amen. God is with us tonight. And he loves his people, and he loves his church. Amen. There is nothing, Romans 8:35, who shall separate us from the love of God. And nothing, tribulation, stress, whatever it is, amen. And it cannot separate this church from the love of God. Cannot separate you as an individual from the love of God. Cannot separate us from the blessings of God. Maybe we ought to just thank Him for that tonight. Praise God. Praise God. And she actually believed that something could take her Lord away from her. Don't ever get to the place in your walk with God where you feel that way. If the enemy comes along and tries to tell you that, you need to rebuke him in Jesus' name. Because nothing can separate us from him. Amen. And each of us are going to find ourselves in that place at some point in time, where all of our hopes are dashed into pieces and God is nowhere to be found. That's where faith comes in. Amen. When we run out of food and we run out of water and we're in a desert, amen, it's important that we can see God in the midst of all of our situations because He is here. Amen. The real answer for Mary, and I believe the real answer for us, is a revelation. Somebody said, praise God. Praise God, a revelation that we can see Him. Isaiah, I quoted that scripture this morning, Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I also saw the Lord. Amen. We've got to see God. Amen. And the way we see Him is to be born again of the water and of the Spirit. Amen. Filled with the Holy Ghost. Delivered, all the devils are gone, all of the situations might still be there, but I'm telling you what, God is with us here tonight. Amen. And can we say the troubles she encountered was actually the door to a higher relationship with the Lord? I believe that it was. Her distress and her situation that had spun out of control. She didn't know this, but it was true that it was a door to a higher relationship and a door to a higher revelation of the Master. Praise God. Amen. Could her present distress be the very portal that opened this up to her? I believe that it was. Amen. Because in the midst of it, He's still there. He's there all the time. Well, praise God. And I believe that it can open a door, and it will open a door if we approach this thing of living for God by faith and walk by faith and not by sight, as the Scripture says. God is in control. Do you believe that tonight? You really believe that? Amen. God is in control. What we need to look at, what are you looking for? Hebrews 12 and verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He started us on this journey, and He's going to help us to finish the journey tonight. Who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross. The joy gave Him the strength to endure the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. The day is coming, my friend, child of God, saint of God. The day is coming when you're going to look back at all of this and say, it wasn't really that big of a deal. Well, praise the Lord. It really wasn't that big of a deal. Amen. When we see the glory that is going to be revealed in us. I've got a few other scriptures here, and I want to finish with this here tonight. John chapter 10 and verse 11. Here's what Jesus said about our relationship. He said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. Praise God. The good shepherd will actually give his life for the sheep. I don't understand that. I don't understand the love of God. Stand with me here tonight. I don't understand the love of God like I need to. But perfect love casteth out fear, and fear has torment. And so when we really understand the love of God, amen, it will take those things away from us. When you get up in the morning, you need to just say, God is for me. Somebody say that with me tonight. God is for me. God is for me. Gavin, God is for you. Hunter, God is for you. Whatever you're going through, Daniel, this little guy right here, Matthew, Tessa, Elizabeth, Abigail, I could go down the list. Wesley, amen. God is for us tonight. Praise God. I've seen young people grow up in 26 years of being here, almost 26 years now. I've seen young people come. We've seen them go, but we've seen some of them stay. Amen. And I've seen them grow and become adults and get jobs and get married and have children and have families. I've seen it. I've seen it in other places where I've pastored. Amen. And what you've got to understand and get a revelation of, you have to get a revelation that he's here. He's beside me. He's walking with me. Amen. Because he is the good shepherd. 1 Peter 5 and verse 7, casting all your care upon him. Everybody said, all your care. All your care. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Amen. Just cast it. Just throw it. Don't hang on to it. Don't hang on to your cares. Jesus said not to worry about tomorrow, just worry about today, because he's with us today, and we know that today is the only reality that we have. It's the only reality that we have is our today's. There's no such thing as tomorrow unless God would allow us to go into our tomorrow. 1 second from now is our tomorrow. Praise God. And second by second, and minute by minute, and day by day, we establish our walk with God, our love for God, and a revelation of who he is and what he wants to do for us. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Do you really believe tonight that God cares for you? If you don't, you're going to be tormented. If you don't, you're going to lose hope. But I'm here to tell you tonight, there is hope. God cares for me. God is for me. Amen. Some of you are going through situations, and I'm not preaching to those situations only. I'm preaching to all of us here tonight. Amen. And you look at your future and say, I don't know what my future is going to hold. Get a hold of God. Did you hear me tonight? Get a hold of God and let your faith rise up and start speaking some words of faith and say, God is for me. Did you hear that, devil? God is for me. Well, praise God. And before you know it, faith is going to rise in your heart, and God will maybe not take you out of the situation, but he'll give you the power and the understanding and the strength to make it through.